In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I want to begin and end with the reflections on our gospel, but also maybe in the in-between, draw our attention to some realities that we face, both as a community and as an archdiocese. It seems fitting that what we receive in our gospel is given to us precisely when the Archdiocese of St. Louis is about to undertake the most radical transformation of its structure in the whole 250-plus year of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. So, too, we have lived with uncertainty not only since the motu proprio and the dubia that followed thereafter, but in truth, we have lived with a degree of uncertainty for quite some time, the time before our transition here from All Saints, the time before All Saints when we transitioned there. And while I was not an immediate part of the community, I was also aware even in those maybe tranquil days of life at the Abbey, there were still difficulties that always called into mind the stability of our oratory. We have lived maybe with a constant sense of anxiety and menace and fear as to what is and what the future will actually be. Maybe have made decisions about where we are, what we do, and how we comport ourselves based on that natural and maybe legitimate fear. But the gospel today tells us, demands of us, that we trust in the Lord, pure and simple. There are no caveats to that. There are no cutouts. There's no fine print. Trust in the Lord when you feel like trusting. Trust in the Lord when it's convenient for you to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord when everything is good in your life so that you're okay, even if no one else is okay. Then you can trust in the Lord. That's not in sacred scripture anywhere. The Lord asks the question, why are you fearful? Why are we afraid? It's a fair question. Since the motu proprio, I can honestly admit, I have shared this with some, I've lived with a level of anxiety that I've never experienced in the whole of my life. And even with the dubia, which only intensified it, making it that much more real for me. What will I do? How will I survive? All the questions that are legitimate and true and real. And then how many decisions I came to, how many paths I navigated, all of them convenient for me. But in truth, when I took a step back, I realized they were motivated by fear. And maybe fear isn't always a bad thing. After all, in our gospel, they proclaim they are about to perish. But of course, the Lord knows who he is in answer to their question, what manner of man is this? This is the God-man. They have seen the works that he has performed. He has explained to them who he actually is. There have been witnesses to him. And yet, even still, there is an unfolding of that trust and that confidence that we should have in God. We might not necessarily then begrudge the apostles for their fear, but where do we stand then? 2,000 years, plus years of revealed truth, men and women who have shed their blood, who've died in defense of the faith, who have put aside fear and literally walked into the lion's den, accepted death, and did so with joy. We rest on their foundation. We know, in one sense, that which the disciples did not fully know or understand, and yet we sometimes manifest an even greater fear as to what the realities and the futures may be. I certainly don't want to minimize that, but I can't help be personally convicted, and as your shepherd then pass on to you, that we can never allow ourselves to move, decide, exist in fear. Because even if everything that we have become comfortable with, everything that we know, everything that we hold true and hold fast to, in a sense, is taken away from us, this shifting sand of our very existences, God will still be with us. Now, I can't tell you what that's going to look like, because contrary to what people may think, and sometimes even what I desire, I don't know the future. I can't divine the future. I've got some powers, but that ain't one of them. So I can't tell you for sure what will be, and nor can I tell you that what will be will necessarily be good for you. What I can tell you is that God has promised us a future full of goodness and hope, not a life free from difficulty, but a future full of goodness and hope. That's part one. Part two is you will find in your bulletin a letter from our Archbishop. I'm not going to read it, hence its publication in the bulletin. But draw attention to what it is that it is articulating, that on the feast of the conversion of St. Paul in both calendars, this past 25th of January, the Archdiocese of St. Louis has undertaken this grand reformation of the structures, the realities, everything about the Archdiocese of St. Louis is now under scrutiny. One would argue a good way, bad way. I don't know. We can all draw our conclusions as we see fit. This initiative is entitled All Things New. It recognizes all the great history of the Archdiocese and wants to continue this great history into the future, to use well the resources that we have. We fit in the midst of all of this because we are an entity of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. We are, as I oftentimes say colloquially, we simply are a parish of the Archdiocese that happens to celebrate the sacraments in the traditional manner. There are some things with which we need to be attentive, and one of them that is on Ash Wednesday, March the 2nd, every subject of the Archdiocese, I believe obviously over the age of 18, will be provided with an opportunity to take a survey about the life and the health and the reality of the Archdiocese, which will be part of this process. There will be more information that will come. I have asked a few of your fellow parishioners to assist me in the unfolding and sifting through these initial stages, and I will do my level best, assisted by my great saintly secretary, not really my secretary, she actually runs the parish. Donna will help me stay on task, and we will present to you the information as we receive it. My encouragement is that you read this letter. My encouragement is that you go to the Archdiocesan webpage, which will provide you more detailed information as to how all of these things are happening chronologically. And then my greatest exhortation returns me to the end, the bookend to these realities in three parts. That is, as we embark on this collectively and individually, we do so with trust and confidence in the Lord. It is an easy thing to say from this perch, because this is a nice perch, after all. And it's easy for me to exhort you to that when everything seems to be solid and steadfast. But we know how quickly life can change, whether it be our financial fortunes, which are here today and gone tomorrow, our loved ones, which are with us and then no longer with us, the security of relationships that seem solid and sure, and then somehow through some experiences and some realities were transformed. People we thought would always be in our lives no longer are. And those that we thought we would never befriend have become our closest confidants. All of that is God's providence. All of that is God's design. We might feel at times as we're being buffeted back and forth between things that seemingly are capricious, but in truth, if we can put aside fear and trust in the Lord, we can see the hand of divine providence. Not only in those experiences of great joy and confidence where the Lord provides us consolation and peace, most especially in those experiences which we find ourselves in at this precise moment, where there isn't the stability of the rock and the good solid ground that we want to find ourselves on. But we know in truth, brothers and sisters, that foundation has always built and has been built and will continue to be built on the Lord. What is required of us is not to make decisions, move in haste, live out of fear, because you know as well as I, when we do that, oftentimes the decision that we make, maybe in the immediate, is a response, but in truth, oftentimes, is a worse position than when I first found myself. Patience, steadfastness, hope, perseverance. These are those ancillary virtues that assist us in living well, this trust and confidence in the Lord. And so when you are asked to pray about the decisions that are going to be made, when your opinion is solicited about the life and the health of the Archdiocese, don't respond in fear as to, I need to say the right thing to make sure that the oratory survives. God is going to make sure that we survive. How, when, what, where, again. I cannot give you specifics. I very much want to do that because I want them for myself as well. I want a rock solid answer that we are here today, tomorrow, and always. But then tomorrow I could be gone and all things then change yet again. The only thing that we know of, the only thing about which we can be sure, is that love that St. Paul called the Romans to live in and with and through. And so if we approach with faith and trust and confidence and love, we can truly find the stability and the strength that we need. Forgive me. There is a sadness in my heart because of what it is that we are undertaking. And I think that sadness at times is laced and tinged with fear. But if I'm going to serve you well, and that is my deepest desire, that I must be the first one to live not out of fear, not out of doubt, not out of anxiety, but out of a trust and confidence in the Lord. So I will exhort you to that, and I will pledge to do my best, and I will rely upon you to call me to task when I fail, and to be support with me that we all can be successful. The bottom line is this: not money, not material, not things. The bottom line is God is victorious. Not he will be, not he was, but he is. We live in and with and by the power of that victory. And it is precisely these moments in which we stand that we are given an opportunity to truly test our mettle. Do I believe in God's victory? That's not a rhetorical question. You must ask that of yourself. And then your answer must manifest itself by the trust and confidence that you have in God, that he will lead us and guide us and support and sustain us. These aren't happy, happy, joy words. These are tough words that call for a resolve, a steelness about ourselves. In truth, as the Lord himself did, setting our faces to Jerusalem, knowing what it is that will happen there as he went up to Jerusalem. He went anyway, not out of fear, not of doubt or discouragement, but trust, confidence, and obedience to his Father. And so it can and must be for each of us. Do not be afraid, because you know what manner of man the God-man is. You know both collectively and individually all the good things that he has done. The only thing that now is required of us is to call upon the Lord, not in our fear, but in strength and in peace, and ask the Lord to give us all that we need, binding and holding all of that together in the love that he provides to us, in the love then out of which we live, both with him, with Holy Mother Church, and with each other. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.